Good morning, everyone. And welcome to Living Beyond Limits. So nice to see your beautiful faces here this morning. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I welcome you to our service. And if you're joining us online today, I welcome you to our service online. So as we begin our service today, I invite you to join me in reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's exactly what we are doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity by being here to connect again with our own divine nature, by discovering that, yes, indeed, that one infinite presence that expresses itself in and through everything expresses within us and in and through us specifically as love. It expresses within us as love and as peace, and the truth of our own wholeness and our own authentic power. Because what happens is, as we discover that lives within us all of the time, that then when we are out in the world and the world is not reflecting back to us love or peace or kindness, we have that inside of ourselves and we are able to bring that forward. We are able to lean into that within us. And as we do that, we are then able to bring forward love or peace or kindness or gentleness, or stand in our own power when things feel threatening. So we aren't as reliant then on the outside world being that for us. Of course, we'd prefer that it did, but we aren't as reliant on it. And as we are then able to come from our own spiritual nature, we actually act as a beneficial presence in this world. As we come from love, as we come from peace, we benefit those that we are in interactions with, as well as those that we are in relationship with. And because we are connected, each one of us, to each other and to the whole, we actually affect the whole as well. We are a beneficial presence in the world as God expresses in and through each one of us. And so I say thank you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be being that presence of goodness and that beneficial presence in the world. And so on podium with me this morning is our practitioner, David Conant. He's going to lead us in a moment in an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is always right where we are. And Burley is with us, and she's going to lead us in singing the prayer chant, We Are. The words will be up on the wall. I invite you to sing along or just to sit and to take them in. And so I invite you just now to begin to slow down and to turn within and to allow yourself just to touch the part of yourself that is just your own beingness.
This is a time when we each move our thoughts to our hearts. This is where we experience our oneness with the great companion of the soul. This evocation is all about what we already know about the universe, living beyond limits, and most importantly, about each one of us. This is a time when we recognize and affirm the presence of divine law in this service and in our lives. This living spirit defines us and our oneness with the heavenly spirit. This is a very powerful connection we each have with the universe. We can't disconnect with it because we can't disconnect with who we are. We are spiritual beings. There is a universal essence of life which we enjoy every day. We are all living spiritual lives. This is also true for this service today. I bless Reverend Jennifer for creating Living Beyond Limits. I bless Burley and her music ministry. I bless Ray. I bless all spiritual paths. I bless everyone here. And I bless this service. And so it is. Good morning. My reading today is from 365 Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. Remaining constantly open to the love of God within ourselves can produce great results. Though the essence of love may be elusive, it pervades everything, renewing our soul and uplifting our emotions. We can all live happily, harmoniously, and successfully with one another when each of us practices a conscious recognition of the presence of love within ourselves and within everyone. We can overcome the troubles and difficulties that we have allowed to enter our lives when we remember that love is that creating and sustaining presence within all. God loves, moves, gives, and exists in me. As I eliminate doubt and self-judgment, the divine nature flows freely through me. The life-giving qualities are forever in motion. There is nothing in me that can stop, even for a second, the flow of divine energy, and there is only loving right action. The warmth of love circulates through my mind, my body, and my world. The energy that I would have used in judgment, I now release in love. I accept and embrace my wholeness, and I am filled with faith, love, and trust. And so it is.
And David, thank you so much. Oh, and David, thank you so much for that. Evocation was just beautiful. Thank you. One moment, please. And so at Living Beyond Limits, we talk a lot here about being a beneficial presence in the world. We talk about kindness and care and love and inclusion. And when we act in ways that are kind and caring and loving and inclusive, what happens is acting in those ways enables us to access our spirit. When we are kind and loving and caring and inclusive, it gives voice to our spirit so that it might express in this world. You know, one of the primary needs that we have as human beings is to be accepted and to be valued and to feel like we belong. Think about it. Even as a child, it's like one of the deepest wounds that you could receive as a child would to be not to be wanted or not to be loved. And if we have that kind of wounding in our childhood, if people have that kind, they carry it with them for a very, very long time. But we have that need to be wanted and to be loved because when we are wanted and loved, we are accepted and we are valued. And so we have this deep need to be accepted and valued, to be loved and to be cared about. And so I have a question for you. How good are you at loving and valuing and accepting yourself? And I don't mean just the parts that you deem to be acceptable or the parts that you deem to be good, but I mean all of yourself. How do you do at loving all of the parts of yourself? The part of you that makes mistakes and screws up? How good are you at loving the part of you that feels hurt or angry or betrayed? How good are you at loving the part of yourself that lashed out at someone and hurt someone's feelings that's important to you? Are you loving toward that part of yourself also? How loving are you toward the part of yourself that feels broken or wounded? How compassionate and caring are you? How do you treat those parts of yourself? Do you treat them with tenderness and with love and with care? Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, said, "Any sense of guilt we have, any burden of condemnation we entertain, or any mental state that wears us down hinders us from more fully experiencing the nature of spiritual reality." When we hold ourselves in condemnation, it hinders our own experience of our own divine nature. It hinders the experience of our goodness. It hinders us from experiencing our own spiritual nature. Sue Patton Fiol says, "One of the soul's main purposes is to know, love, and express our authentic selves, to live the life that we were meant to live, and to be the person we were created to be. However, our true selves will only emerge when it's safe to do so. Self-condemnation, shame, guilt, and judgment send your true nature into hiding. It is only in the safety of support, encouragement, and self-love that your soul can bloom as it was created to." I think the problem is that sometimes we forget that we're not meant to be perfect. We are instead really here and meant to awaken. We are to awaken to that which is greater than we have ever experienced before in each moment. We are here to uncover that greatness within us. And when we make mistakes, when we screw up and it feels icky inside of us, it's all that is a voice that's saying, "Not this way. This isn't it." It is a gift that directs us in the direction of that unfolding of our greater selves. It directs us in the direction of discovering our own spiritual nature. It's really a gift. But what happens is we judge ourselves out of that mistaken idea that we're already supposed to be perfect, that we are already supposed to have arrived at our goal. And then when we have it, we tell ourselves how bad and wrong we are. We give ourselves a hard time. I saw one of my hairdressing clients recently, and she had been at a family gathering and was saying goodbye and talking to someone for quite a while, standing on the front porch. And she went to step and didn't realize she was still one step up. She thought she was all the way down, and she fell. She must have told me 4 or 5 times what a klutz she is. We do that. We tell ourselves, oh my gosh, I'm such a klutz, or I'm such a loser. We tell ourselves, I'm such an idiot. Why did I do that? I can't believe how stupid I am. When am I ever going to learn? We blame ourselves, and we shame ourselves, and in turn we feel guilty about ourselves. And then in that sense of guilt, we start feeling like we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be loved because of the mistakes we've made. We don't deserve to be treated nicely because of whatever it was that we said that hurt someone's feelings. And on top of that, sometimes we carry those wounds for decades. Something that happened decades ago, we still carry it. Or sometimes we carry those wounds from our childhood that we somehow believed it was our fault for not being treated in ways that were kind or loving or caring. We say, I must have somehow done something to deserve that. I somehow must be responsible. It must have been my fault somehow. We tell ourselves somehow it must have been my fault that my parents didn't meet my need, or that my first spouse wasn't very good to me. Somehow I must be responsible for that. The truth is, what happens when we judge ourselves is it creates an obstructed or a partial view of ourselves. We can only see the mistake. We can only see how we messed up. Somehow the rest of all of who we are kind of disappears because that becomes so big, whatever it was that we did. We cease to see the whole person. It's kind of like if you went to a play and you're sitting behind this big, huge column and you wonder why you can only see the outside edges of the stage. That judgment blocks this whole segment of who we are and what we're about and what we're made of. Father Gregory Boyle said, "Turns out that judgment is blind. Only love sees." And that goes for ourselves as well as for other people. Judgment is blind. Think about it when you're just seeing another person. Judgment is blind. Only love sees. See such a bigger picture to what's happening. And so the title of my talk today is Me First. And I'm talking about learning to care for and embrace and love our whole selves. All of who we are. Including the parts that we feel ashamed of, or the parts of ourselves that feel guilty, the part of ourselves that makes mistakes, and how when we embrace and love and treat those parts of ourselves with care, that it enables us to allow all of who we are into our heart. And when we allow all of who we are and bring that into our heart, that is the only way we experience our wholeness. In that love and in that self-acceptance, then we are able to love and accept others more easily. In that energy of love and acceptance, it creates a space for everyone to bring their best forward, for everyone to bring their greatest forward, to bring forward those parts that we haven't yet discovered. So me first means I must love all of me first. And so you all know, I think, that I'm reading Gregory Boyle's book, The Whole Language. And he talks about in that book that most people think that the answer to gang prevention is to give them content. If they only knew more, we say. If they had more skills, we can give them skills. If they were trained more, if they had better character, so we could offer classes in values and morals and character, those things, giving them that content, will surely fix things. That's what most people think. But at Homeboy Industries, they don't use criticism, telling you what you're doing wrong. They don't actually use suggestion of how to be a better person. They don't teach values, and they don't teach morals. Instead, is what they do is they employ a context of caring, a context of tenderness, where a person is received with tender love. That creates a space to heal. That creates a space for a person to flourish. That creates a space for people to discover their innate cherishableness, that we are cherishable. It helps us discover our own goodness. The truth is, the thing that fixes things is being seen and loved for what is seen and loved. To be seen and loved for what is seen. To be seen and loved for the whole person we are, and to love that whole person. What heals or fixes things is to be embraced and valued and accepted, to be wanted, to belong. What is needed is for us to have our own innate goodness witnessed by another person. In that love and in that acceptance, it's safe to show up. It's safe for our spirit to show up. It's safe for our wholeness to show up in that kind of acceptance. And so he tells a story in this book that says, to get into our 18-month program, you take a drug test, and if you're clean, frankly, though, we have wiggle room, you are approved for the three-person selection committee. Then the decision is presented to the council, and once they all approve, a candidate awaits their start date. All depends on the ebb and flow of our headcount and how much money we have. More often than not, homies will come to me to get a start date. Moises came in, and this was the first time I'm meeting him. A lone tattoo straddles his neck, and he's like a fullback. He doesn't have much of a neck to begin with. Quote, they told me to check in with you about a start date. I can't tell by the tonal temperature of his statement. I ask a few questions and tell him I'll check with the council about bringing him in. So you're a father, he says. Then half turns in his chair to point at everyone in the packed reception room. And these are all your children? Before I formulate what I'm to say next, he cuts me off. Now I will tell you why I have come to your office. He looks to the floor, and I wait for him. Can I be your son? His stocky body leans forward, and he grips his face with his hands. I sense the crying may take some time. But before too long, I too lean forward and whisper, imagine what a gift it would be to have a son like you. The crying accelerates, and I let him be. Finally, he looks at me, and I hand him several Kleenexes. The one thing, he says, that is the one thing I only ever wanted to hear from my own father. I gave him a start date. No better place to begin than here. And so what if you loved and accepted yourself like that? What if You were your own soft landing spot in the world. What if you received yourself with tenderness and love like that? When we feel loved and accepted and valued and cared for, we come to the world differently. We come to the world differently because we are different. And so I have some questions for you that you actually have in your insert. And if you don't have a pen, you raise your hand, Colleen will give you a pen. And so I invite you just to close your eyes and to turn within to the place where you meet your own soul, the place within where you experience your own wholeness, your own essence. This place within you that knows all that it could possibly ever need to know. And to ask that place within yourself, when I am empowered and self-loving, how does that impact my interactions with others? When I am empowered and self-loving, how does it impact my interactions with others? And to go ahead and write your answer down. And to go ahead and close your eyes again when you're done. And turning within again to ask that knowingness within you. When I am highly critical and judgmental toward myself, how does it impact those that are closest to me? When I am highly critical and judgmental toward myself, how does it impact those closest to me? And to go ahead and write that answer down. And turning within one last time to ask yourself, how can I be more loving toward myself? How can I be more loving toward myself? Do you see how loving yourself creates a space so that your spirit can come forward and express? Ray said this morning, you know, living beyond limits is all about nurturing our spirits. When you're loving towards yourself, your spirit gets to come forward. And that feels so good and is so fulfilling. Loving and accepting ourselves makes loving and accepting other people easier. Aeneas Nin said, "We don't see things as they are, but as we are. We project onto the world whatever it is that we carry inside of ourselves. And how we see ourselves creates the lens through which we view the entire world and adjusts and changes how we see things. Our own self-appraisal becomes our mental equivalent. And then that mental equivalent draws things to us or repels things from us or invites things into our lives because we're open enough to let it in. That changes all of that." Gregory Boyle says, "When we are whole, when we are whole, that is also what we see in others. When we are whole, that is when we are able to see the wholeness in other people." We here have a desire to live in unity with this family of humanity. That's one of the things that walking this spiritual path does, gives us this desire to live in unity and connectedness with each other. Loving and accepting and embracing who we are is a springboard to live with that sense of unity. So my invitation to you this week is to remember you aren't here to be perfect. You are here instead to unfold and to grow and to learn and to uncover your own spiritual nature, to discover that goodness and that love and that beauty that's inside of you. You are here to discover your own divine nature. Our self-acceptance creates a safe space for us to discover that, because it creates a safe space to grow and to explore and to try things on and to not have to be right or perfect when we're trying things. Because when you have to be right and perfect, it's not safe to try on new behaviors. And so love and accept your whole self. Love and accept all of who you are. And then it's easier to love and accept all of who other people are. And then, in turn, everyone gets to bring their best forward. And so blessings to each of you on this path of uncovering and bringing forward your own spirit, your own divine nature, and being a blessing and being a beneficial presence in this world. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. How good it is to be in this place of remembering. How good it is to be in this place of sense, feeling of our own spirits, of the presence of the infinite one that surrounds us and envelops us at all times. For I recognize truly that one that we call God, that we call the Christ light, that we call life itself, love intelligence, beauty and goodness is really all that exists. It is this one that is expressing itself in and through and as every single thing in this universe. And that everywhere we go, in everything we do, we walk in this presence. And that presence walks by means of us in this world. For it is the thing that is the life force energy within us. It is the love within us. And every single time we act in ways that are loving and inclusive, we are reenacting the nature of God. And so today, we recommit to being this presence in the world, to shining that light out into our neighborhood, out into our country, out into this world. And we do it by being that presence and by recognizing that presence. And as we act as that light and as we see that light, it magnifies it and creates space for it to come forward. And I speak this word also for every single one of our politicians, every single one of our world leaders, specifically for Putin and Zelensky, recognizing that the infinite intelligence of that one presence and power is within them. And also the love of God is within them. The truth of oneness is that from which they come, and they carry that within them. And so right now, I know that it is this most high voice of God that is speaking within their hearts and within their minds, within their own knowingness of solution and answer and a world that works for everyone. For that is the call of our own spirits, to be living in that world, a world of unity and a world of love, a world of belonging and caring. And so it is with gratitude that I release this prayer into the infinite law of this universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself. For we lean into that truth, and it is in faith, and it is in knowingness, and it is in acceptance that I say, and so it is.
It's now time for our affirmation on the white sheet, if you would join me. I am not here to already be perfect. I am here to unfold, grow, and discover my divine nature. I accept, love, and value myself. In turn, I naturally accept, love, and value others. And so it is.
Nice, thank you. And so I have a couple of invitations for you. One is, we are still looking for people if you'd like to join us on any particular Sunday, helping us set up or helping us break down after service. We are looking for people that want to help us to do that. I think we have people signed up for coffee for the next couple of weeks, but what we're doing is somebody is making a pot of coffee at home right now and bringing it with them in the thermos, and then they trade off the next week and hand it off to the another person who signed up for the next week. So there is a sign-up sheet in the back if you'd like to sign up to bring coffee. That would be fabulous. We supply the coffee and the filters and all the stuff. You just make the coffee at home. Also, we have a sign-up sheet back there for our Sunday morning greeter. If you'd like to be the one that hands out bulletins and says good morning to everyone, or if you'd like to be on our InReach committee, which decides things that we might do together that are fun to do things as a community, or outreach, what we might do to participate out in the world. In fact, Mother's Day hasn't happened either yet, huh? We're doing a Mother's Day project as an outreach with Tsukasa, and we are bringing supplies, personal care items, so you can do that anytime between now and Mother's Day, and Barbara Conant is going to take them, what do I have, before the 17th. No, for the 17 mothers before May 1st. So this is the last week, huh? So if you didn't bring something this week and you would like to do that, get a hold of Barbara Conant and she will tell you how to make that happen. Oh, you can bring them next Sunday. Okay, and next Sunday. Okay. And I am going to be teaching a class coming up that's a brand new class out of Centers for Spiritual Living that is a five-week class around the 10 core concepts of the science of mind and practices of how you practice each one of those. I think we're going to start in 2 weeks, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday during the day. I think we're going to do it in the park right here in the shade on the other side of this building. So we'll start at 12:30, so that gives you time to eat your lunch and then come on over. So if you would like to sign up and join us for that, I think it's going to be super fun. It's only a five-week class, so it's not a huge commitment. We'd love to have you join us. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. We are having an outdoor service on Mother's Day, which we are also going to do in the park right over here. It's going to be a celebration of Mother's Day and, of course, Mother Earth and Earth Day, and we're going to have a grounding our feet on Mother Earth kind of ceremony. So I invite you to join us for that also. Our Sunday talks are available on our website. Ray sends them out every Sunday afternoon or evening. And I am asking everyone here if you would be willing to send those to people, friends of yours, that you might think just to forward that email, friends that might be interested. It is also posted on Facebook, the talk, with a link to go on our Facebook page and share that link so it gets shared on your Facebook page as a way to start spreading the word of mouth that we are here. I feel like we have landed somewhere and it feels good and it feels like home. So I think it's time to start inviting people to come and start building our numbers back up.